Mr. Hirschfield 1, where were you born, please?
I was born in Poland, a town called Sieradz in central Poland, near Łódź, near the town of the city of Lodz.
Can we put your date of birth on the tape, please?
I was born on the 13th of the 9th, 1928.
And can you tell me something about your family, what your father did for a living and that type of thing, please?
My father had a small shop specializing on officers' boots. He was making two people working for him. And with our town being a garrison town, officers used to come to him to have their officers' boots made. And that was my father.
And as far as the family of your father and mother were concerned, had they been long established in that area?
Yes, they were all established in our town. There was a certain migration. Jewish people came into the town, and in 1783 they had to leave, and then eventually they came back. It was all depended a lot on who was in power, the government or the king. At certain times there were 287 Jews, and then before the war, 1939, there were 5,000 Jews in our town and 6,000 Christians.
And was your family prosperous or poor or comfortable or what?
They were in the middle of the road. They weren't prosperous, no. Jewish people in Poland weren't allowed to do certain things. They could be artisans or have shops. But there was always quite a lot of anti-Semitism, and they weren't allowed to get to a high standard or in the army, or that you couldn't work in a bank or in government offices and so on. So they could not climb the ladder as Christian Poles did. And my family was a very warm family. We were a very, very close family. And life went on normally before the war. I was around about 11 years old, and I went to school. And until the war broke out, I had a very normal life. I was a very happy child. Four children in the family, two sisters and two brothers. I was the youngest. And
did you personally suffer from anti-Semitism when you were a boy?
I have seen it a lot. Sitting sometimes in the park near the school, near the gymnasium, some Polish children went past, the Poles went past, shouted, "You go back to Palestine," and all sorts of different things. They waited for us sometimes out at school, and shouting abusive language. But we didn't, as a child, I didn't take very much notice. But I did see a lot of anti-Semitism as far as the peasants used to come in on a Tuesday and on a Friday with merchandise from the villages. And they were Poles who stood in the Jewish shops, in front of the Jewish shops, and saying to the peasants, "Don't go into the shops. It's a Jewish shop. Don't buy from the Jews." And that made a very great impression on me. Jews went to the Polish army, they fought for the country. They did the same as everybody else, but they were second-class citizens as far as that's concerned.
Did these people who tried to picket the Jewish shops, were they organized or were they doing it off their own bat?
They were organized. They were very... They were more or less the fascist organization. And as our town had a large ethnic German population, it didn't help. They were ready for this sort of thing at all times. And also, as the war was nearing, in 1939, around about August or so, we could see a lot of Poles being brought in into the prison, especially that's quite a large prison, marched in, and a lot of them were fifth column people working for the Germans, because they were ethnic Germans, and obviously they wanted for the Germans to come into Poland at that particular time. And I watched all these things happening. Being a garrison town as well, I used to watch the Polish army walking on, marching to maneuvers, and all sorts of different things. It was a small town, but it was a very vibrant town.
Did you and your family have any non-Jewish friends with, into whose homes you would go into and that type of thing?
Yes, we had a few kitchen friends. One of them actually used to work for my father. He was a farmer originally, and then he came to work for my father. Yes, we had a few Christian friends, which were very good friends of the family.
And what were relations like between the German-speaking and Polish-speaking people in your town?
They didn't show any animosity before the war. It's only started, the mayor of Sheraz was an ethnic German, and he had two sons. And when the German, actually my uncle lived in the forecourt, in the same forecourt as them, my uncle was a butcher, he had a butcher shop, and they lived all right with them, and when the Germans marched in, the mayor put his swastika on and his two sons, and they were Germans, and they didn't want to know anybody anymore. But yes, we had quite a few Polish friends who were quite, we had a good friendship with them.
Were your parents interested in politics? Did they belong to any political party or support any political party?
My father was very much a socialist, and many times I used to go with him to meetings in our town, and to different political views, and when sometimes he didn't like certain things, he stood up and said so. He had a very strong mind concerning justice. He hated intolerance. And so,
do you know which party he voted for?
Socialist.
Was your mother interested in politics?
Not as much as my father. My father was very strong-minded as far as he could not see injustices what's going on around the poverty and everything.
What was your father's attitude towards Zionism, do you think, about migrating to Palestine?
He was Zionist-minded as well, yes, and I went to a Zionist organization, Shomer HaTzair, which was a socialist Zionist organization of originally I went to Betar, which was different, was likely could today, but he told me not to. And then I went to the to Shema HaSayer's socialist party.
Why do you think he forbade you to go to the other one?
Because he thought they were a little bit extreme.
Did your mother and father believe in God?
Yes, very much. They were religious people, not Orthodox, not exceptional Orthodox, but they believed in God, and we went to synagogue and we prayed three times a day, and but we were not in the Orthodox.
What about your schooling before the war?
We lived in a town called Konin for several years, because my great-grandmother lived there and my grandmother lived there, and most of my mother's family came from Konin. It was more Western Poland. It also had a very 3,000 Jewish community and 10,000 Christians. It was a very nice town. As far as I was concerned, it had a very good library, had about 20,000 books, all different kinds of books, for a small community like this, and I thought it was very good. And the Jews of Konin were quite intellectual people, and for the years, later on in the camp, it helped me a lot. With my survival and my knowledge of life, and I got most of it from, I would say, Konin. It's been a great teacher for me, that particular town.
Did you have any ambitions as to what you should become in those days before the war?
Well, I was only a boy, and for my parents, they wanted me eventually to go to have a higher education, go to university, and to have a profession. That was their ambition for me. And obviously, I most likely would have done it if they wouldn't have come.
Now, going on to the crisis in August and September 1939, can you take me through step by step what you remember of it? Where you were and how it affected you, please?
I came back to Sherrard in 1937. My parents decided to move back to Sherrard, and I went to school in Sherrard, which was a Jewish school near the River Varta. I just went on till the, I remember one Saturday, we had a plane go over our house, and there was some shooting from another plane, and we heard what's going on, that war will be declared, and it was just about 2 or 3 days before the war actually started. With our town being a garrison town, there were a lot of new recruits coming in and walking, a lot of soldiers were around the town. And then we got an order to whoever wants to leave the town should do, because the Polish army is making a stand on the River Warta. It's a very large river, coming from Germany and passing through Sherrard. And my parents decided to leave with most of the population from Shiraz. And we decided to march towards a town called Zuz Kavola. That's about 14 kilometers from Shiraz, where we had relatives. And we just took our things, what we had, and put carry. And we went on foot. This transportation was nil, except a few people had horse and carts, and that was a transport. And as we walked on, we eventually came to, after about 2 days, we arrived in Zuz Kavola.
Why did your family think it would be more safe there than in Shiraz?
Well, they originally wanted to go to lodge, but the first stage was in Skavola. And being in a larger city, there is more chances of good, more security among a bigger population. So my father's actual direction was to go towards lodge. And we arrived in Skavola. My parents took us to our family, and we were greeted and given some food, and we stayed there overnight. Next day, I've watched one or two planes passing by, and some strafing in the air, and looked up, but I didn't take very much notice, and then suddenly, some German planes who made a terrible noise, the Stukas, what this is called, and they started dropping bombs on the town. I was at that time in the yard, and I ran towards the railway station, which was the wrong thing to do. There was a lot of high grass, and I thought, if I run that way, I'll be all right. And as I ran towards the station, the bombs were falling all around me. And very nervous and crying, I didn't know what to do. I decided to lay down. And after a while, the planes passed by, and I returned to my parents, and they were very happy to see me, that I was all right. Zuz Kavola had a few textile factories, and they bombed one or two, and also the center of the market square. And when I got to the square, I've seen horses and cars being hit, and there were all dead bodies in the square at that particular time. And that disappeared, and next day some more, and my father decided to start marching on towards the next direction, and we decided to walk through forests, which were quite a few forests around there. It's safer, and we marched on towards a town called Wask. That's on the way to lodge. And we stopped overnight with some peasants, and as it happened, they were ethnic Germans and the villagers, and they were terrified, they were very worried what's going to happen to them as well, with them being Germans. Anyway, they gave us a place where to stay. My father gave them some money, and we stopped overnight with these Germans. The following day, we walked towards the forest, and my father was stopped by a military police, because at that time he must have been about 39. 40, and they were asking for the papers. He didn't get the call-up papers at that particular time when we were still at home. And obviously, they said, why aren't you in the army? And my father said, well, I never received any papers. And after about half an hour, they let us carry on. We marched on to, eventually we got to the town of Wask. People were queuing up for bread, and myself and my brother, we stood in the queue for some bread, and my father had seen a Jewish religious man, and he stopped and he said, do you know where you could get a place where to stay for the night as we going on to towards lodge? And he says, well, you can stay in my house. In this situation, and we got there, he was a very poor tailor, and we stayed the night. Very nice of him. And the following morning, we had a bite, and we started our journey towards Pabianice. That's where we had lodge, where we had some family, my uncle and auntie, and my sister lived with them because she did work. She learned the trade in Pabianice and textiles, and my uncle's textile mill. We eventually got to Pabianice. On the journey, we've seen a lot of bombing, and we happened to have crossed the railway line, and on the railway line there was several wagons, and before we turned around, the German planes came down and they bombed these wagons on the line, and there happened to be ammunition train, and they the bullets and the bombs, they ricocheted, and it was terrible. And we've seen Polish soldiers with gun carriages riding along, wounded. It was pandemonium. It was so terrible. Some soldiers were hit, and my father ran over to help, and one of them died. And to me, as a boy, it was a very traumatic situation, because I've never seen anything like that before, and I was very fearful, very nervous. But eventually, when the planes passed, we decided to move on, and eventually the following day we got to the town of Pabianice. We were very happy to see our aunt and uncle and my sister, and we stayed with them a couple of days, and we eventually made ourselves to lodge, where we had some more family. They had a dairy in a street on Lotsma Street, in lodge, and when we arrived, they had plenty of space, and they took us in, and we stayed with them for 2 nights, and then we heard a lot of bombardment going on from a distance during the night, and everybody was very nervous. And then the Germans obviously were nearing lodge. And the one day I went to the square. I remember, and I could see some soldiers with helmets on, very big coats, like plastic coats on motorbikes with a
sidecar.
And they arrived on that square, and they stopped, and people were looking after them, just watching them, and eventually the Germans arrived. soldiers came, German soldiers, and I dashed home and told my parents that the Germans hadn't arrived. The following day, I could see I was standing in the main street of Lodz and seeing the German army arriving with gun carriages, with the motorized army equipment, and well, I've never seen such a formidable force. Artillery and planes flying overhead, and soldiers on lorries being transported on the way to Warsaw. And as on the way home, after watching this, I could see German soldiers rounding up some religious Jews with beards and laughing and joking, and one of them took a pair of scissors and started cutting the beards off, and they all the Germans were standing around and laughing and shouting at them abuse and so on. And it upsets me right away. Even as a child, I realized it's not very nice to do these things to anybody. My father decided we should return to Sieradz, to our town. Obviously, he had to start work and do something. But he says, don't worry. I know the Germans from the First World War, they weren't bad. But the previous year, a lot of Jews came from Germany to Sieradz, and they said how badly they'd been treated, and they were of Polish descent, and the Germans put them on the trains and sent them back to Poland. And the Jewish community in Sieradz helped them out to settle them. But the stories they told us about the horror stories, it was unbelievable. People couldn't comprehend that the same Germans from the First World War should have changed as much as that. Obviously, I heard Hitler ranting on the radio in 1939 before the war started, and I could understand a lot of German because we had a lot of ethnic Germans, and my parents spoke German as well. So I understood what it says. And obviously, there was a lot of commotion always, what he threatened to do and so on. And but whatever happened, my father decided best thing to do, let's go back to Sieradz and start life again, which we did. We got transport, we got a coach, and we got back to Sieradz. And there was a lot of looting of the homes, but
who was doing the looting?
Well, I couldn't say. Could have been maybe some of the Germans or some of the Polish people stayed behind. On the average, it wasn't as bad, but there was some of it. Our house, where we lived, was intact. My mother started, she was selling fruit just before the war started.